97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Sorry about the delay there as I tried to get my ducks in a row here on the show this morning as I walked in the door and just in there till the last second doing show prep for the people. It's kind of how this works. Glad you're with us this morning. We have got so much going on. It is the opening day of the legislative session down in Jeff City. So not a lot gets accomplished down there today, as we've discovered in the past. And many times we've been live down there. That is not the case this year for a couple of reasons. But regardless, we have got it all covered for you because we've got the lieutenant governor. We've got people from the House of Representatives, people from the Senate giving us their take on what they think is going to happen. The income tax break is probably the big one everybody's waiting on this year to see if that's going to happen. It's going to take time. There's no doubt about it. That might happen before the end of the session. I don't know. But we're going to find out, and we're going to get the scoop from all of the folks this morning. We got Nick Schroer joining us. We've got David Wassinger joining us. We've got Richard West is going to join us a little later. We're going to get a national perspective on some of this from Senator Eric Schmidt, who is I want to get his take on obviously the Venezuela thing, which is kind of been dominating the news right now, and then just some of the silly season stuff that's been going on out there. And Kim, I have a question for you. Have you ever been to Greenland?
No, I have not.
I've had people call me in the last 24 hours wanting to know, when are we invading Greenland? I mean, people, come on. I got a soapbox for you this morning. I'm going to get to it coming up here in the next segment, but we're going to kind of give you a little explainer on how all this works. I don't know. Maybe some of you out there have figured it out. But if not, I think it's probably time to enlighten the masses about what is really going on here. And I will share my thoughts with you on that coming up. I've never been to Greenland. Wouldn't mind visiting sometime. I want to go to Iceland sometime, too. You know, I want to go to Magaland sometime, too. I want to go down and float in the Gulf of America. I want to do all these things. But all of these things only exist in the mind of Donald Trump's enemies. He's a master at getting inside of the brain of his enemies and distracting them from what's really going on. And I just think this is, again, a master class in that. And we're gonna take you to school here coming up in the next segment. I really do see that happening.
So had Greenland ever been on the United States radar prior to Trump, or was that completely new?
Geopolitically, has it been on our radar? Sure.
Well, I'm sure. To this extent, because I'm trying to think of any other time I would have heard it being tossed out as like, okay, this is what we really want to do moving forward.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything really happening, to be honest. Yeah, like you said, I think Trump knows how to stir the pot. He's a master at it, and he does it really, really well.
Well, I mean, I think the thing about it is you have to acquire the land to put up the Trump Tower. So really what's going on here is that Donald Trump is just driven by his own greed, and he just needs more land to build Trump Towers.
He has that giant Trump gold statue he wanted to build, right? Remember that? When he put the video out showing when they rebuild Gaza?
Yes.
They were going to do some big Trump, and everyone's freaking out. As if Trump's really going to put a giant gold statue of himself.
That's true. But as long as his enemies believe that, he's got him right where he wants him. So that's where I see this whole going on. We'll get to more on that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Earlier this week, David Wassinger, Lieutenant Governor of Missouri, put out a post. You can have your opinion on what influence the lieutenant governor has on what's going on in Jeff City. Like, today's the opening session. Obviously, he's there when as the pro tem, or whatever you call it, of the Senate technically, he's not the Senate pro tem leader, but he's the basically the president of the Senate. He goes in, he can gabble things open, he can go in and he can have influence on these things. But he put out a big piece earlier this week talking about how basically what it said was, here we go again. Another session we're facing where the lobbyists have a much greater chance of getting what they want than the people. And is it the same old story? I don't know. We're going to get to the Lieutenant Governor this morning in the 7 o'clock hour and find out a little bit more about that for you, because I think he's, I'd love to know what issue specifically he sees this on. IP reform has got to pass the people before it takes effect. Is it tax breaks? I don't know. There's a whole lot of issues down there. Hundreds and hundreds of pieces of legislation have already been pre-filed, and we're going to get the rundown on some of those this morning from Richard West, from Nick Schroer, and, of course, from the Lieutenant Governor. So stay tuned for that. You're going to get a full rundown on what's going on down in Jeff City this morning. I promise you that. Right now, though, Ethan Bright, let's get ourselves into the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
Yeah. Was that Nancy Pelosi? I believe that it was. Yesterday, January 6th, of course, the anniversary there 5 years ago from Washington, D.C., the White House, in another brilliant stroke, has created its own page on January 6th. To get the truth out. It's got a timeline, and it's got that soundbite from Nancy Pelosi, the one who rejected more National Guard troops 3 days in advance, taking responsibility for it.
For over 3 hours, we begged him to send the National Guard. He never did it. He took joy in not doing it. It was savoring it. And right now, he was saying on TV today, I wanted to send it. They just wouldn't do it.
Now, talk about revising history. I don't know if she was in the sauce or what, but she came out yesterday again trying to rewrite what happened in Washington 5 years ago.
They've been after this guy for years and years and years. And, you know, he's a violent guy. He gets up there and he tries to imitate my dance a little bit.
President Trump speaking to Republicans yesterday morning. That was a long speech, and he covered a lot of ground. We're going to cover some of it for you this morning.
I will say this about Greenland. We need Greenland from a national security situation. It's so strategic. Right now, Greenland is covered with Russian and Chinese ships all over the place. We need Greenland.
There you have it. There you you have it. The president once again bringing up Greenland, and if I tell you that I won't rule something out, Kim, that's different than telling you I'm going to do it. Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
Like you know, if I won't rule out rooting for the Chicago Cubs. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Like, if they made it to the World Series and there wasn't another team I cared about, I might kind of hope that they would. I could have said before the beginning of this football season, I wouldn't rule out supporting the Indiana Hoosiers, even though I've been a lifelong opponent of the Indiana Hoosiers as a Kentucky fan. But that doesn't mean I was going to do it. Now, I've ended up doing it, it sounds like, because I think they're a Cinderella team. And they're fun to watch. But that's basically where the president's going with Greenland. If you're confused by any of that, stay tuned, because I'm going to kind of point you in the direction here. And you can take this to the water cooler with you this morning, what you're about to learn here, because you're going to have all of your liberal friends saying, what are we going to do with the man who wants to invade Greenland? I got the phone calls yesterday. I couldn't believe how many people reacted to what was said yesterday. It's just a complete distraction to what's going on in the entire world. I promise you, we'll get to that here for you in just a couple of minutes. Right now, though, let's get to our national anthem.
The Constitution is not a mere inconvenience in the United States of America. It needs to be followed. And Congress explicitly was given the sole authority to declare war.
This seems to be mostly about oil and natural resources. Donald Trump's entire foreign policy is corrupt. Russia, the Middle East, and now Venezuela is all about making money for his friends.
What Donald Trump has done is undermined America's security and other interests around the world. This is a very dangerous moment.
This is how we get into endless wars. The administration has a one-day plan on how to get rid of Maduro, but no idea of what happens after.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
Oh, the burden. The burden I feel, Kim St. Ange. I feel the burden to mansplain to the people what's going on in Venezuela, because clearly the left doesn't get it, and so many people out there rely on the mainstream media. They're just not paying attention. Listen, the biggest message you need to take away from what I'm about to tell you is that the President of the United States, love him or hate him, is playing a game several levels above the reporters and his political opposition on a daily basis. I struggle with the fact that these Democrats can get in front of a camera like you just heard and really pull off an act in public like they're not getting their ears boxed in. But it's kind of a snapshot of where the Democratic Party is these days, right? I had to listen to a guy named Bakari Sellers yesterday describe why Donald Trump is a war criminal, and then in the same breath praise Joe Biden, admit that Joe Biden had levied a $25 million bounty on his head. Listen to just a little bit of this.
He chooses Caracas over rural health hospitals, right? He chooses Venezuelans over soybean farmers.
So
he chooses everybody else over America.
Did you find the Biden administration putting a bounty on Maduro's head as well?
No, Maduro's a horrible person. He needs to be shackled.
But what if Trump just acted on it? Exactly. What do you mean that? You approve of Biden putting the bounty on his head, but not of Trump actually going out and arresting the guy.
Yeah, see, this is the problem right here. Donald Trump acted where Joe Biden wouldn't. And in the minds of the left, that makes him a war criminal. Do you understand what's going on here? You really need to understand what's at stake. You got to step back and look at that 30,000-foot view. And remember two words. Just take two words away from this morning. America first. I listened to a reporter in the mainstream media this morning on the drive-in here lamenting the fact that Donald Trump, with his action in Venezuela, is going back on everything he campaigned for in 2015, in 2020, and 2024, not to get the U.S. involved in endless wars. Kim St. Ange, is there a war somewhere that I missed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, listen, there's a blockade of a country that sits several hundred miles off the coast of Florida that happens to cooperate fully with the three foreign nations that are the biggest enemies of the United States of America. Now, you can be critical of what we did in Afghanistan and Iraq, where we spent 20 years on the ground and cost thousands of American lives, but still understand that that is not what's going on in Venezuela. There's no reason to believe that's going to happen in Venezuela. It is indisputable that the United States is better off today than it was last week when Maduro was still in charge in Venezuela. It's better for the Venezuelan people, and it's going to be better for America, because guess what? Our enemies just got knocked off kilter. That's what you need to remember. And I got to tell you, I brought this up a minute ago. If I hear one more person whining about the risk of the United States invading Greenland, I might have to throat punch somebody. I don't be stupid. How about that? It's not a good look for you. Greenland is vital to our national security, but just by saying that you're staking a claim on that territory, that you deem it important to your global strategic plan in the face of Russian and Chinese tampering in the Arctic. Remember those two words I told you about earlier? That America first? Again, 3D chess. The other guys are playing checkers. Now, these idiots in Europe who put out a joint statement against the U.S. getting involved in Greenland is just about the silliest thing I've ever heard. But again, remember, the simple act of removing Maduro has all of these little would-be autocrats a little bit nervous right now. And they're nervous for good reason. Think this through. Follow with me along here. That's exactly why Donald Trump defeats his enemies constantly. He's in their brain. He keeps them off balance, worrying about things that aren't going to happen. But just by saying we won't rule out military action, that's all they're focused on today. You know, I heard somebody say this one time, and it really is true. Do you consider yourself prepared in the event of an emergency? Do you think you are? I mean, have you been a minor prepper and put some stuff in the basement?
We have.
So you feel if anarchy happened, you could defend your family?
Anarchy?
Yeah.
I don't know. We have some food down there.
Well, I'm just saying. Do you think you're prepared? Because you're really only prepared if you're dangerous. Do you consider yourself dangerous? Stick with me here. Do you consider yourself dangerous? Because you're really only dangerous if you're willing to act. Are you willing to act? This is the gist of what's going on here. What happened in Venezuela proves that in the right circumstance, the United States of America is dangerous to these foreign countries, to these foreign leaders who have abused us for decades because we've had very few presidents with the cojones to stand up to them. This is why the Monroe Doctrine is not being ignored anymore, because Donald Trump understands this better than anyone else. This has been missing for a long time. That fact in and of itself is all you need to know. If you're in a battle of wits with unarmed people, ignore the noise and repeat these two words, America first. If it's in the best interest of the United States, that's what matters, and we win. This is an America first policy. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
There are calls right now to boycott Hilton hotels, specifically because of what happened at one specific Minneapolis area hotel, where there were some law enforcement agencies, or officers rather, so it was DHS and ICE agents who had gone there and had tried to book rooms, and they were apparently told they can't have rooms there. And some who did have a reservation had their reservation canceled. So Homeland Security on Twitter puts out something that says, "No room at the inn. Hilton Hotels has launched a coordinated campaign in Minneapolis to refuse service to DHS law enforcement. This is unacceptable. Why is Hilton Hotels siding with murderers and rapists?
It's a good question.
To deliberately undermine and impede DHS law enforcement from their mission to enforce our nation's immigration laws." So this particular hotel is supposedly independently owned by this group called Everpeak Hospitality.
I think that's pretty common in the hotel industry these days. Somebody gets a franchise and gets the authority to open a hotel
under that
bigger
name.
It's owned by an LLC, but they have a marketing agreement with Hilton or Drury or whoever. Maybe not Drury, but some of the bigger hotel chains certainly do that.
So if the
hotel meets certain standards.
Right, and that's key here.
Yeah.
So Everpeak Hospitality puts out some statement after, you know, that went viral, basically saying that they were canceling these reservations, and said, "Oh, you know, we're welcoming to everybody that is not in keeping with our policy. That should never have happened." So independent journalist Nick Sorter went out to that exact hotel and was rolling on his camera and tried to book a hotel room. Actually, he tried to book 10 hotel rooms, and he was claiming to be with the government, with DHS. And I want to play this interaction with you. Wait until you see what happens.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Do you have any room for tonight?
We should, yeah.
Okay. Like, how many? Could we get, like, 10?
10?
Yeah, I know that could be.
Did you already make reservations by any chance?
No.
No? What's
first
the name?
It would be just Nick. I'll just put it under my personal.
Personal?
I don't know if you can use a government rate or not, but...
Let's see. It depends, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. What agency is it for? Using the government rate.
It'd be Department of Homeland Security.
We're not accepting people from immigration, ICE agents, DHS, into our property. It's just the part management ownership.
Okay, yeah. I thought that changed today. Was that?
I just talked to the owner of the building, uh-huh. And he didn't say there has been any changes. So
really? Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's just policy. You know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So that video goes viral. Now Hilton Hotels is announcing that they've ended their relationship with that particular group. Again, that's Everpeak Hospitality.
Have you noticed, oddly, all of these things, all of these controversies, all of these scandals land back in Snohomish in Minnesota?
What is going on over there?
I don't. Well, it's been going on for a long time, and people have just ignored it. I mean... Al Franken gets elected to the, and the Saturday Night Live comic gets elected to the Senate from Minnesota. These are the Mondale. I mean, I can list a long list of jokers that have come from the state of Minnesota. They're insane. They are insane. So this private ownership group made this decision separate from Hilton, supposedly. And the guy seemed to have rooms when he thought he was going to rent 10 rooms to a private individual.
We should also mention Nick Sorter, the independent journalist in that video. He checked online to verify that those rooms were there before he even went in. So he already knew that they were available, and he was just seeing if they would, you know, actually book it for him, being supposedly for with DHS, and clearly they didn't. So Hilton puts out some statement yesterday saying a recent video clearly raises concerns. They're not meeting our standards and values. We're taking immediate action to remove this hotel from our systems. Hilton is and has always been a welcoming place for all. We're also engaging with all of our franchisees to reinforce the standards we hold them to across our system to ensure this does not happen again.
Well, it's true. I mean, who's going to clean Paris Hilton's bathroom if we don't have illegals here?
That's true.
I'm just kidding. So somebody suggested on the Facebook page that it might just be that the hotel owner there, the franchise owner, was employing some illegals in the kitchen and on the staff, which is why they didn't want ICE agents there. I hadn't thought about that.
I did not think about that. I just thought it was a bunch of liberals who didn't want to have anything to do with ICE agents.
That's more likely it.
But what's kind of crazy when you think about it is how many people on the left are praising this and thinking that this is okay. Because we go back to this whole notion of we're the party of love, we're the party of acceptance. And this is so far from that. To say that you should be canceling the reservation for someone who's there doing their job. Some of these ICE agents, I'm sure they all probably agree with the work that they're doing, but they're doing their job. They were told to go to Minneapolis because the whole state is a disaster under the leadership of Tim Walz because of all this fraud, upwards of, they're saying, $9 billion. And who knows? It could be even more extensive than that. They're just doing their job. For you to deny them rooms and I couldn't even believe the audacity the hotel had to initially send that message out, the email out to the government, basically saying, hey, we're canceling your reservation. We're not allowing any of you to stay here. What kind of idiot was behind the computer typing that out, thinking that was going to go over well?
Well, I mean, originally, if you just walked into a hotel that happened, I would assume it was the
the
local college student manager who was on staff that night was letting his politics interfere with it. But this was clearly he was aware of what was going on and was still holding the owner's line on all this. So the thing about it is, Hilton did the right thing. They didn't do the Anheuser-Busch, Dylan Mulvaney route where they just denied everything. They just cut ties immediately.
But this doesn't, to me, warrant a Hilton Hotel boycott.
Oh, no. I hope that's not what's happening.
That's not really, to me, what this is or should be about. But there was some... I watched some clip from The Hill on this, and they were showing people reacting on both sides, and there was some liberal who said, I hope more businesses follow suit and refuse service to government officials who are either breaking the law or doing morally...
Breaking the law.
Like, come on!
it's like the Mark Kelly thing, that you can't charge that idiot with sedition. Kelly deserves it, in my opinion. But to come out and encourage people to defy the law... in the military's case, break their legal requirement. That's what he did. And in this case, you've got people who don't have any allegiance to anyone except their personal politics that's at stake here.
Well, and that has really seeped into a lot of different areas. People are, I guess, having a harder time letting their politics affect decisions like this, where they should be professional, and it seems so obvious that you can't deny someone a room.
I want to know if Sorter is going to go dig into the LLC records and figure out who the actual owner is. Many times with these LLCs, what people do is they hide the ownership behind an attorney. They'll hire an attorney to file the LLC, and his name ends up being the only point of contact for the LLC, and then you have a hard time finding out who's really behind it. Some states help shield that information. We need to know who this person is so they can be exposed to the public. Now, will it have any impact in Minnesota? Probably not, because my experience is the last American out should bring the flag when they leave Minnesota.
So, clearly Everpeak has some issues, and Hilton made the right decision to cut ties, but let me just play this scenario out for you. Could it have been a situation where some, 20-something-year-old manager of that hotel, because I feel like I've seen some pretty young managers these days, they're instructing their staff to not allow anyone to be here, to cancel these reservations. Everpeak finds out about it. They send this letter out saying, oh, this never should have happened, and we're welcoming of everybody. And then the same manager of that particular hotel does it again without Everpeak knowing. Is that a possibility?
I guess. I don't know. April says on Facebook this morning here that apparently somebody came in after Hilton discontinued this relationship and were able to get the Hilton discount. So did they really sever the relationship or not?
Well,
in a legal situation like that, I would imagine it could physically take a few days for them to completely disconnect. They're probably part of the Hilton reservation system and all of that stuff, because if you call an 800 number to book a Hilton hotel, you're not dealing with the local desk. You're dealing with some national operator who helps book your stay at a location. Generally speaking, that's how that works. So maybe it just took them a few... I hate to give them any credit here, but maybe it's just going to take them a few days to sever that relationship.
That would be my thought, too. Well, I mean, is this the only hotel doing this? Maybe there are more? I mean,
I'm sure there are more.
Messed up.
Where's this happening in L.A.? Probably, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's happened.
Think about
probably
the protests.
In LA.
That they were probably told that they couldn't stay there.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly interesting. I'm glad that Hilton kind of tried to get in front of it anyway. We'll see if that holds. I'm sure there'll be a few other people going in and testing them in the coming days and hopefully exposing anybody else who's doing that. Some very sad news this morning, and I'm going to reflect on that a little bit when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. Michael Reagan passed away yesterday, and I didn't know Michael personally, but I did have him as a guest on this show recently, and we're going to talk more about that when we come back. All right, guess what? You're lucky if you tuned in early today to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A couple of Rascal Flatts tickets on the line here. Thanks to our friends over at Live Nation. They've given us tickets to give away every day this week. Now, the concert's coming up on the 17th over at Enterprise, so you have a chance to go see them January 17th. And tell you what, we'll just round it off to caller number 10 this morning. How about that? Caller number 10 at 314-241-9797. Caller 10 will get a pair of tickets to see Rascal Flatts. Good luck to you. We'll give more away tomorrow. 314-241-9797, which also, of course, doubles as the text line. If you've got any thoughts you'd like to send us down here this morning, maybe on the start of the legislative session, we're going to be having House members on, Senate members, the lieutenant governor. If you got any questions on your mind you want to ask, you can put those up on the text line, 314-241-9797, or you can send them in on social media, Facebook, YouTube. We have a running chat here, which often sort of is a show of its own every morning. So just wanted to mention this, but before I get started, I'm going to just briefly play something here for you.
Mr. President, in talking about the continuing recession tonight, you have blamed mistakes of the past, and you have blamed the Congress. Does any of the blame belong to you?
Yes, because for many years I was a Democrat.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan, the great one, the Reynaldus Magnus. I have to say, hearing that Michael Reagan died yesterday really kind of hit me. I've had the honor of meeting, I guess, all of Ronald Reagan's, no, three of Ronald Reagan's four children. I've had the honor of meeting. I got to meet Maureen Reagan one time when she was in St. Louis for some reason. It was at the Channel 4 studios. I got to meet Ron Reagan Jr., certainly a disappointment to the name, one time, who was in town when I was still a TV reporter. And we had Michael Reagan on the show 2 years ago, a longtime talk show host. And he was an author and he was a speaker and he ran the Reagan Legacy Foundation. The Ronald Reagan Foundation had put out a statement yesterday talking about this from the Reagan family. With great sadness, they announced the passing of Michael Reagan. He was 80 years old, and just a longtime supporter, and never had a cross word to say about his dad. Unlike Ronald Reagan's other son, I'm afraid, who did not agree with his dad's politics at all. But Ronald Reagan adopted Michael Reagan back in 1945, and at Reagan's funeral, Michael Reagan got up to speak. Now, at this point, he had long been a radio talk show host and was pretty well known himself at this point. He got up to speak at his dad's funeral. Here's a clip from that. Listen.
Good evening. I'm Mike Reagan. You knew my father as governor, as president, but I knew him as dad. I want to tell you a little bit about my dad, a little bit about Cameron and Ashley's grandfather, because not a whole lot is ever spoken about that side of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan adopted me into his family in 1945. I was the chosen one. I was the lucky one. In all of his years, he never mentioned that I was adopted, either behind my back or in front of me. I was his son, Michael Edward Reagan. When his families grew to be two families, he didn't walk away from the one to go to the other, but he became a father to both, to Patty and then Ronnie, but always to Maureen, my sister, and myself. We look forward to those Saturday mornings when he would pick us up, sitting on the curb on Beverly Glen as his car would turn the corner from Sunset Boulevard, and we would get in and ride to the ranch and play games, and he would always make sure it ended up a tie.
I mentioned that I got to speak with Michael Reagan a couple of years ago, and I'm trying to remember the occasion. It had something to do with the Reagan Legacy Foundation, and I went back to look for one of those sound bites this morning, because he not only was he active as a commentator, but he was very involved in carrying on his family legacy of giving back. And one way he did that was providing scholarships to service members who served on the USS Ronald Reagan. Here's a clip from our interview with Michael Reagan 2 years ago.
We send checks to the men and women who serve aboard the USS Ronald Reagan. There's 2,500 crew members
And when the air wing comes on, it adds another 2,500. So it's a floating city in the middle of the South China Sea right now of 5,000 people. And so they can go online and they can ask for a scholarship from our foundation, the Reagan Legacy Foundation. And then we look over the paperwork and provide checks not only to them, but their family members. Nobody else does this. Their family members can also ask for help for our scholarship program if they're trying to better themselves and get an education.
Yeah, that's the Reagan Legacy Foundation that was put together by the family and still doing that to this day. And Michael Reagan played a big role in that, and I'm so sad that we've lost probably at this point. Maureen Reagan died a few years ago. We've lost the last closest relative to Ronald Reagan who tried to emulate his ideas and his policies. That makes me very sad. So Michael Reagan dead at the age of 80. Coming up, we are going to talk to State Representative Richard West, talk about some of the issues he's hoping to move through the legislature this year and maybe what the stakes are. Nicole Murray got you a check of business this morning in other news. All of it coming up right here in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.